Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Bing bong, bing bong, bing bong, bing bong.
I love our theme song. We should get a
actual theme song
remix. Well, no, this is fine because then it's more work and whatever. It's
all right.
Let's not. Minimal effort, minimal work. That's our motto.
This is not it. Anyway, hello. My name is Claire. James is also. We are married and we recommend you things to watch, read and listen to.
That's right. And this week, that. We're doing that. Like we do every week. This week with a slight twist.
A slight twist.
Just kidding.
You
it's
say.
The same. It's the same as every week. Last week was our spooky episode. Spooky time of the year, not text time. And now it's regular show again.
Exactly right. It
now,
is regular
before
show.
Before we do recommendations, though, Claire, it's very important that we let people know that we are nominating ourselves.
Oh, all right. Okay. So
for
I have
the
to
Australian
say, before you do this,
podcast
it
of the
makes
year.
Me feel really, I feel weird about it.
And why is that?
Because it's weird. It's weird. It's like saying, well, I'm great and everyone should email in and say we're great.
No, that's not what this is about. This is pure spite, which is what I'm all about. So for those people who don't know, you might have heard it on my more successful podcast, The Weekly Planet, a couple years ago. The Weekly Planet, through listener voting, which was incredible, we won the popular choice awards. And me and Mason didn't go.
Australia's most popular podcast.
That's right, which is obviously not true, but we still won regardless because people who listen to this are amazing and like to ruin things for other people. So, but the reason I wanted to do it then was because we nominated a bunch of shows which didn't get any nominations. I'm not just talking our shows. I'm talking like Do Go On didn't get nominated.
Not in the comedy
Ridiculous.
Category. Yeah.
Sam Loy's amazing show didn't get a look in. Ridiculous. All right. And on top of that, you have to also pay money.
I also nominated Annie Donna,
exactly.
And they didn't get in the
comedy. What are we exactly? This is what I'm talking about. It's insane. So this year there are a few people we know, including us, were nominated again, and we're not selected. So I'm like, fuck it. I'm gonna brute force this thing again, and we're gonna win it for this show, like, if we can.
It's not a very
if people
good
get behind
reason.
It, and if we win this time, either next year or the year after, Mason and I are going to make one episode of an entirely new show called James, Mason and Claire Ruin the Australian Podcasting Awards, and then we're winning it again. So this is a stepping stone to a larger grift.
I have to say from the very outset that if anyone is listening from the Australian Podcasters Awards, this is not my idea. And this is
They are definitely not because they do not listen to the shows that are nominated. I guarantee
No,
it.
They do. There's over 100 judges.
Okay.
It's just that they don't know what your Mason show is. And
that's
someone
fine.
Listening
Honestly,
in cold
I'm not even
to us as well would be like, well, this isn't very
I'm
good.
I'm not even about awards. You know I don't. It's not about awards.
Will you go if we win? Will you go?
I don't know. We'll see.
With me? I mean, it might be virtual. I'm pretty sure it'll be in person
Yeah,
this
probably
time.
In person this year. Anyway,
okay.
Putting it out there, see how we go.
Excellent. Actually, and to be honest, I would love you to vote if you're out there listening.
Well, we've already got a bunch of people. We've seen him in the Facebook group.
Oh, they've been bloody amazing.
People have been tweeting me. I really appreciate it.
So do I. I feel appreciative, even though I know it's fueled by spite. It still warms the cockles of my little heart.
I know, and that honestly is my favourite thing, that people are like, yeah, I'll do this. I'll get on board with this dumb thing. Like, we don't win any money. Like, there's no financial gain to this.
We get a little glass plaque.
We got a little glass plaque that you can't really read properly because it's completely
and
glass.
And actually, we had to pay to enter.
And we have to pay to enter. So, if anything, we lose money. Anyway, that's just how these things go. And there's like huge like podcasting networks in Australia that like have shows
backed
up.
Backed by
big radio and whatever. Yeah. And we here at whatever this is, we hate big radio. We're going to take them down. One podcast award at a time.
No, I have some friends who work for big radio.
Yeah, I know. I know some other podcasts who also work within those networks. And they're fine and whatever.
But as we all know, you are fueled by spite.
Yep.
And I hope, listeners, that you
I
also
mean, Auntie Donna, come on. They got a Netflix show. They have award-winning comedy shows.
Yeah.
Come on. And podcasts normally, like, under other circumstances, yeah, whatever. It's outrageous. And quite frankly, I will not stand for it. And so I will ruin this thing.
All right. Can we now just move on with this?
We
show?
Will ruin this thing. Not Claire. Me and the listeners and Mason. Claire is not involved.
Okay.
All right. Here we go.
I don't want you to come to the awards ceremony if by any slim possibility we even get nominated.
I'll be gracious.
Listed,
I will be gracious in success if they let us win, which I feel like they won't because I didn't think they were going to let us win last time, but we did somehow. I will be gracious. I will not be rude. I will be.
You're not going to get up on the stage, on the podium and just say, I did this for spite. I mean, they let Tom Gleason, that comedian, there's an awards ceremony in Australia called the Logies, the TV Logie Awards, and Tom Gleason, a comedian, decided one year to just take them down and just, like, he won the gold Logie.
I love it.
And anyway.
Massive respect for that. And then he did just an absolutely – his speech was incredible. I loved it.
It was so mean.
Yeah, I know.
So mean.
So I loved it. I met him once in person. He was very nice. Anyway.
okay. Can we get on with some recommendations?
It's linked below if people want to vote. Don't have to, obviously.
No, I think you just tap on the link. You type in suggestible.
Yes, and it will come up.
And it's apparently as well in the US. I don't think you need a VPN.
No, you can just do it from anywhere in the world.
Yeah, I think it just kind
of
works.
Which is another advantage that we have because our audience in Australia, not massive, but in the world. A little bit bigger, you know what I mean?
Just a little.
Yeah.
We love you guys.
Okay, let's
everyone. Okay.
Let's not. That's not true.
All right, let's move on.
What is your recommendation?
Ooh, my first one is go to my Instagram and check out our family Halloween photo.
Oh my
God. It's the only photo that I received of us all as a family, and I've got my eyes closed. And you were looking in the wrong direction and our son, well, obviously he's looking at the camera, but you can't see because he's wearing a helmet.
And I'm pretty sure he didn't want that photo.
He really didn't want that photo. Yeah. He was holding on to some kind of thing that he needed to go and do.
Yep.
And he was yelling. But we got there. Anyway, I loved Halloween. It was the bloody funnest time.
It was really good.
It was real good. And anyway, I have got some fun recommendations and then a very harrowing but great recommendation.
Okay, then.
Which one should I start with? I don't have any fun ones. They're all intense, but they're good.
Doesn't matter then, does it?
All right. Whatever. So first one I wanted to recommend very quickly, with everything that's happening in Glasgow at the moment, with climate talks, good God.
Macron's your prime minister sucks. And I'm like, I know this is really like political grandstanding, like on behalf of his nation and whatever, but I love it. I'm into it.
Okay. I will say I couldn't give a hoot what those two dick swinging dingleheads are talking
about.
What I do care about is whether or not they're going to make any progress at all with reducing emissions.
Agreed.
And I hate that it's been taken over by this stupid feud with the French
rather
than really nailing and talking about what we should be talking about, which is that we all need to be committing to net zero by 2030.
Totally.
Anyway, so that's been making me really cross. Watching that and kind of hopeful but mostly cross and furious.
Yep.
Means the same thing. So the anecdote to that is this thing called the World Earth Shop Prize.
Okay.
Which is really cool and you can follow it on Instagram. It's based around what was done previously called the Moonshot Prize. So it's run by it's run in the UK and the Royals have actually kind of got it off the ground.
Oh,
and
David Attenborough. That's interesting.
David Attenborough hosted it. So it's an awards ceremony.
Love him, big fan.
And it's basically all of these incredible thinkers and scientists and climate activists coming up with incredible ways to save our planet. And they did that for the moonshot to get human beings to the moon. And they came up with all this extraordinary invention. And it's happening again with the Earthshot Prize. And the stuff that is being created
that
and the people that are doing it are just amazing and inspiring. And so if you, like me, are feeling enraged about what's happening in Glasgow, it just reminds you that there are so many people innovating and being creative and who do really care about our planet and want things to change. And it's just some old people sitting in these big corporations who are holding us back, potentially also in our government. Mm-hmm. Holding us back from where we need to get to. And I'm feeling more and more hopeful that we will get there.
This was a hopeful thing.
Thank you. That's one thing. This is kind of linked into my TV recommendation.
I love TV, Claire. I look at it and I go, ooh, good show.
Oh, good God. All right. Can I keep talking?
Sorry. I just got excited about the concept of a television show.
Imagine if you had no TV in your life, James.
I'd just watch it.
You were born 100 years ago. What would you have done?
I would have shot myself. I would have got a musket and I would have loaded it.
Let's step it back a little.
And then I would have pointed my mouth and then it wouldn't have fired properly because they didn't really, and then I'd have to do it again. But I'd get there. Don't you even worry about
it. All right. Well, you're nothing if not committed. So this is a TV series. It's Australian. Hold on to your hat, James. I know you're not such a big fan of Australian drama.
There are good ones.
This one is really interesting and I think does a really good job. It's called Fires. So Fires is inspired by the true events of the devastating bushfires from the 2019 to 2020 Australian summer.
Yeah.
So here, obviously, we were hugely affected, I'm sure. I mean, world reports went all over the world about the devastating bushfires and the loss of wildlife and the loss of life and homes that happened during that time. It was just unprecedented and terrifying and obviously related to climate change. And this series, some of the episodes are better than others, but I think it does an amazing job of telling the story of everyday Australians and also the firefighters working on the front lines.
Absolutely.
And it's just – it's really, I thought, really, really good to watch to get a real sense of what people were going through at the coalface. I also thought was interesting. Oh, on a side note, Sam Worthington is in an episode.
Is he really?
Yeah, the cast is also amazing.
Avatar's own. I mean, that's a good get.
Correct, exactly. They've also got Eliza Scanlon, Hunter Page Lockhart, Richard Roxburgh as well, and Anna Torv.
He played Dracula in the movie Van Helsing 2004.
Well, oh, there you go.
Among other things that are
was
better.
He not also in Moulin Rouge?
He was the Duke.
He was the Duke, correct. Well, he's really excellent in this.
So are the episodes connected or is it telling different stories?
So there's a through line of the firefighters. So the firefighters are the same. There's this boy and girl who are kind of quite young. They're in their sort of like, I'd say, early 20s.
Ooh, imagine.
But they go to different related fires.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, so each episode is its own story.
And what are they, though? Are they emergency service workers?
They're firefighters.
Okay, sorry, did you say that?
Yeah, they're firefighters. Sorry. And so they kind of get in very difficult situations and get trapped within fires within the bushland.
Yep.
But, yeah, and then it follows the story of just everyday Australians who, you know, like someone who lost their house in the fires, another person who decides to stay, another family who were camping around Mallacoota and what happened there where the whole township, like a whole, you know, thousands and thousands of Australians went like they normally do on bush holidays because – I mean, there was a lot of forewarning from the government, but really they didn't think that the fires would be as bad as they were.
And the general rule is, like, you stay or you leave very early, and that kind of has changed in more recent years because staying is not always a great idea. So
yeah, and especially with this bushfire season because the fires change so quickly.
Yeah.
So what seemed like a very safe location to go to within a matter of hours became very much not so.
Yeah.
And so that was what happened in Mallacoota. So they sort of follow the trajectory of a young family who get caught up in that too.
Yeah.
And what I thought you would find really interesting is that for this particular series they used the technique of dream screen. Which, have you heard of that?
What's dream screen?
So unlike much special effects and green screen work where actors perform in studios in front of a blank screen with tennis balls to guide their eyelines. Yeah, there's a screen behind them but they also have things moving as well.
Yeah, and they do that in The Mandalorian.
Yeah, that's exactly. I've written that down. Yeah, exactly. So I thought that was really interesting. There's a little video actually they show of the behind the scenes.
Fascinating, yeah.
Yeah, it is really fascinating.
Because you can do it on the fly and you can get things in camera and you don't have to then wait to see what things look like down the line. It's pretty incredible. But anyway, sorry, go on.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you've just said exactly what I said, that they didn't have to do much in post-production.
Yep.
And initially they weren't going to do this because it was so expensive.
Yeah, the cost element is crazy. Yeah, and it looks very good.
Oh, it looks amazing. If you go, I'll get Collins to link this below. There's a little video you can see of the behind the scenes. Mm. They do it from within a fire truck because these firefighters get caught, which actually really did happen.
Yeah.
With the, you know, just completely surrounded by fire. And so they're sitting inside this truck and they use this technique and it just looks incredible. Yeah.
And you couple that with like smoke and props and whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and so the actors, really rather than acting in front of just a blank screen, are really immersed in it.
Yeah.
And they don't have to go back in and put in special effects later.
And it was such good technology for COVID also because you can – like The Mandalorian, which is shot – like normally you shoot Star Wars in multiple locations like across the world to represent different galaxies and whatever. You don't have to do any of that. You can basically do it in the same space and it looks terrific. Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? It's just I had no idea. I hadn't heard about it until I started researching for this TV show. Anyway, really cool. So it's on ABC iView at the moment. I'm sure you could get it with a VPN, and I'm sure it'll be available overseas. It really does give you a sense.
Fires. Is that right?
Correct. I mean, it does a really good job too. Malakuta, the sky turned red and black.
Yeah.
So when you see some of that footage that went around the world where it just looks post-apocalyptic, that's one of the locations.
Yeah.
And I think it's a really good reminder and quite timely to watch, particularly maybe with someone who might not be thinking that climate change is such a big deal.
Mm.
And then you watch that and you think, how could you not think that there's something going on?
Yeah. So, and even if there is nothing going on, which there is, wouldn't we rather live in a world that's not a smog-infested hellhole?
Correct. Exactly. Look, I think the director, Michael Reimer, Anna Kokkinos and Kim Mordaunt, who were all directors, did a really fabulous
job. How many episodes? Sorry.
Are there six?
Cool.
Yeah. So, and they're all different, unique stories. Some are better than others, but I really enjoyed it.
Well, that's life, isn't it? Some days are better than others.
Correct.
Speaking of.
Over to you.
Look at this recommendation that I've got here, Claire. Have a look at it.
I can't see it, James.
I'll tell you about it.
It's an audio medium.
I'll tell you about it. It's called Love Life. We talked about season one last year, and now we're up to Love Life season two, which was created by Sam Boyd. So it's become an anthology series that follows a different person each season from their first romance until their last romance. Now, the first season, if you recall, Claire, correctly, which I know you do because you watched it, starred Anna Kendrick, among others. And the second season focuses on a different character played by William Jackson Harper, who people might know as Chidi from The Good Place.
Mm-hmm.
So it's – but here's a twist, Claire. Here's something for you you're absolutely going to love. They're also set in within the same New York Love Life cinematic universe. Mm-hmm. So Anna Kendrick and a few characters from the other season also appear in this season as like – as minor players because, you know, everybody is the main character in their own life. Probably. So this time around it's narrated by Keith David, who's fantastic. He's in The Thing. Have you ever seen The Thing?
Definitely not. Of course I haven't seen The Thing.
The Thing's amazing. You should watch The Thing next year for – it's very scary.
Is that the
gross.
Clown?
No, that's it.
Oh, what's The Thing?
The Thing is set on an Arctic base and then a monster gets into it.
No, thanks.
You should watch
you
it next
love
year.
Love all that
It's got
stuff.
Kurt Russell. It's objectively a terrific movie.
All right. Yeah. Continue on, though, about the rom-com.
He gets divorced and it's probably his fault, almost definitely, it seems. And now he's in his, his late 30s, early 40s, and he's single. So he's just kind of thrown back out there and, you know, he doesn't really know kind of who he is as a person. It's about discovering who he is now because he felt like in his previous relationship that maybe he wasn't – he didn't allow himself to be his true self and he was kind of just – pretending, and each episode focuses on him meeting like a different person for romance. And it's not like disaster after disaster, although sometimes it is. Sometimes you just have like a fleeting kind of moment with somebody or like an imperfect relationship and, you know, and you move forward. Anyway, it's very funny. It's well acted. It explores like modern dating and, you know, racial stereotypes and dancing. There's a lot of dancing in it and friendship and all these other things. And it's very good. I like it. And it's been three episodes of the newest season. It's on Stan here, I think, but it's on HBO Max, I believe, in other parts of the world. What did you think of it?
It's very good.
Yeah.
And it doesn't follow that usual trope of relationship difficulties and then it all just gets tied up in a nice little bow.
Yeah.
I really like that. I think the writing is really fresh for that reason and the characters are all quite complicated and contradictory as well.
Yes.
Just like real people. You know, so there's no like clear villains or anything like that. And it shows the complexity of relationships and how you can change the way that you think about someone and then change back again. And then sometimes it's about timing as well and missing the boat or you not being in the same headspace at the same time. And I think it's really interesting. I also think the friendship dynamic that they create with Anna Kendrick season in the first season is wonderful. And I like that again in this season too. That to me is actually what I love the most about it is seeing the way his friends support him.
And the family dynamics as well. And
Exactly. And how friends are there or not there or their friendships change as they too change. Mm. And like the dynamic with his mate who has kids and a wife at home,
yeah,
I think is quite interesting because I do think they capture that very well. It's really difficult sometimes to stay friends with someone when your lives are in very different places.
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
And I also think his friend tells him not to get divorced and not to do it, and then he does it anyway, and then he regrets it. And I think that is really another thing, right, about friendships, that you can see someone that you love walking into something that they know is going to be bad.
Yeah.
But you can't stop them
and
with
you,
love.
And when you're in it as well, you can't see it either. You know
no,
what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's hard to kind of.
Totally. And a lot of rationality goes out the window.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot about a friendship that moves into your 30s and 40s, right, is just still just being there to hang out and have a drink and have a laugh with your mate and
just have a good
let
time.
Let them know you're there.
Yeah.
Like warn them, but in the end of the day, I mean, that's
yeah. People
really,
people make their own decisions.
Yeah, they make their own decisions, good. And it's tricky. Anyway, yeah, I think it's great.
Yeah,
loved it.
Can't wait to see the rest of it. I think they're releasing like 2 or 3 episodes a week or something like that. I believe.
Yeah, I really like the way that it's shot. It does a great job of depicting how hard it is in New York if you don't have an apartment.
Yeah, right.
Or you're sharing a flat with someone.
Yeah,
that's good.
Good stuff.
Cool. All right, my turn.
I would love you to do the, yep.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Do the thing.
Have you got another depressing thing?
I
that first thing
do.
You said wasn't that depressing.
No, it wasn't. No, and this isn't really depressing either. It's just excellent.
You don't know what's
so
going on.
So I've had quite a few people recommend to me this TV show Made. And so I thought what I would do read one of the wonderful people who did recommend it to me.
I love this idea.
You can email in to suggestiblepod@gmail.com with your recommendation and you might just get it on the show, just like George Irwin has.
George Irwin sneaking his way into the show.
What a legend. Hi, Claire and James. First, I want to say that I love the pod. We love you. Thanks, mate.
Yeah.
I have been listening for a while now and you've helped me through many tough times. Whenever I'm stressed, I pop the pot on and feel the anxiety drain away. Oh, let it drain. So thanks. You two have some incredible
like
banter that never gets on. God.
That's the kind of banter you can expect here. Please go on. Do go on.
So sorry, George. My suggestion for you guys is a show called Made, starring Margaret Qualley.
Mm-hmm.
It follows a mother who runs away from her partner after he becomes increasingly aggressive and violent. She has no one to turn to and is left trying to piece her life together, all whilst caring for her young daughter, Maddie. It's very heartbreaking and uncomfortable with the protagonist constantly progressing one step forward and two steps back.
Mm.
But it's incredible, vividly representing motherhood and its protective nature. I think. I'm not a mum. No, you would be correct, George. It absolutely does.
Well, as a father, I don't agree. But go on.
All right. I think Claire will thoroughly enjoy it. And James, I don't know. There are no big kicks here. This is serious cinema.
Oh, wow.
Keep doing what you're doing, from George in the UK.
No, I saw you watching this and I was like, I should watch this because it looks good. But then I'm like, well, then I have to watch something else for suggestible.
Well, here's the thing. Here's why I think you should absolutely watch it.
Yeah.
It comes from Margot Robbie's production company, Lucky Chap Entertainment.
Oh, really? Okay.
And she obviously created I, Tonya, which is like a smash hit movie.
I still haven't seen I, Tonya.
Oh, it's very dark, but it's great.
Yeah.
She's brilliant in it. And also they also created Promising Young Woman, which is, I know, one of
the shows that
you loved. And it has a similar vein. It's completely different to Promising Young Woman.
Yeah.
But there's a really strong female protagonist and it does a really good job of shining a light from a different perspective on domestic violence and what it's like to live in poverty and to have no one to turn to. It also talks a lot about coercive control with an emotional abuse within a relationship. It does that complexity really well because he's not on the outset at actually physically violent towards her at all that you see on screen.
Yeah.
Her partner, Sean, who's played by Nick Robinson, is more manipulative than that. And so the first sequence kind of sees her just
– like Nick Robinson.
Yeah, he's really good in this. And Margaret Qualley as Alex is just incredible, as is her daughter Maddie, who's played by Riley Nevia-Wittett. And interestingly, Andy McDowell plays her undiagnosed bipolar artist mother, who's very flaky and but kind of wild, crazy hair and amazing. And they're actually mother and daughter in real life.
Oh, okay. I didn't really know that. Cool.
Yeah. What I also really love about it, it also looks at what happens when a woman and with her kids has to leave that kind of environment, what it takes for her to leave, and then what happens when you get put into the system, and how when you've got no family support, because often with coercive control, they gradually take away your financial freedom, your ability to have any friends, and they ostracize you and separate you from the people that love you and your family. So you end up with no one to turn to.
Yeah.
And it, I mean, like, her partner in this had also taken her phone.
Mm.
But what's interesting is they sort of juxtaposition this with flashbacks to when they first started dating. And he's an alcoholic, but when he's sober, you eventually meet him as a character when he's sober, and he's a great dad and he's really lovely. And you can see why she goes back to him. And it's this sort of, it's just not black and white.
Yeah.
It's done really, really well. And you just start to understand why her mother is the way that she is as well, based on her previous relationships. There's just lots and lots in it that's so rich. One of the things I think is most interesting, though, is that it's based on a book by Stephanie Land, who and this is sort of like her life story. So she wrote a memoir, and the memoir was called Made: Hard Work, Low Pay, and a Mother's Will to Survive. And so this book was a memoir based on her real life true story. She grew up in Washington, Anchorage in Alaska, in a middle-class household, but had a car accident at 16, which led her to be diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, which was then exacerbated by financial struggles that she had. And she ended up as a single mother in her 20s, living in Port Townsend in Washington. And she had to escape an abusive relationship and then worked as a maid. So then during those years, she was planning to become a writer and go to university. And she obviously had no money. So she ended up having to clean houses and eventually got herself out of that situation. But that led her to do some writing. And one piece that she wrote for Vox then became this book. And it's so worth reading. If you don't read the whole book but you just read this piece in Vox, it's there now. It's called I Spent 2 Years Cleaning Houses. What I Saw Makes Me Never Want to Be Rich. And this is the other part that Mae does really well. It's about her perspective going into these houses of people who've got like McMansions and how miserable they are. And there's stories that she sees, because they see her as a ghost. They don't see her as a person with feelings and thoughts and opinions. They sort of see her as interchangeable. And so they kind of open their whole life up to her. And so she ends up seeing so many interesting things, people addicted to pills, you know, people who are married but living in completely separate wings of their own house, women who are struggling with IVF, who are struggling with pill addictions, you know, all kinds of things, people whose, you know, partner has died but the house has remained exactly the same even after they've gone, and this man's living alone with his wife's house, you know, even his wife's notes still on the fridge. And that in itself, I think, is really fascinating to think about, and also makes you really think about privilege and what it means to have someone in your home cleaning your house. And I mean, there's a scene in the actual TV show, which I'm not sure actually happened in real life, but she has so little money that she couldn't afford to eat, and she had to put gas in the tank and pay for childcare. So she drives to this house, she cleans it perfectly, but then she passes out from hunger. And the woman then flippantly gives her a muesli bar. She leaves and then refuses to pay her because of the inconvenience that caused, and how that spirals. And the other technique they use really well in the show is they have the dollars on the side of the screen of, you know, how much money she's got left in her bank balance.
Oh, God, yeah.
And so the first whole kind of sequence is her escaping from her partner, but then she's got maybe like $12.50.
Yeah.
And she fills up the tank enough with enough petrol to get her to her friend's house, you know, or to her mother's house. Then she buys her daughter, you know, a muesli bar, and it goes below the line.
Yeah.
And you can just and she's got no one to turn to. She doesn't have a support network. And I think that's something else that it made me really think about. I'm in this privileged position, and I think we both are, where we have really wonderful families that will support us. I've never felt like I didn't have someone to go to, and wonderful friends, and we're connected in with a community, you know. And I think she, because of a whole lot of circumstances out of her control, ends up with nothing and no one to turn to. So it's really interesting.
Is it one of those things where they're like, season two coming soon, or do you think this will be?
No, it's one complete season. I mean, I can't see them making another one. I mean, I guess they could show what it's like for her to move forward from there, but really I think it's a complete show. It tells her memoir in that sequence.
Yeah.
And I think it also does a really good job of showing what it's like to be in halfway housing and the problems in the system and what's wrong with.
It seemed very harrowing. Harrowing.
It is very harrowing. But it's not violent. No. It's more emotionally
distressing,
but important. I think it shows what it's like for women who are escaping and what it's like to go to like a domestic violence shelter and the incredible women that work in there. And it's also very inspiring.
Mm.
I think by the end, like, I won't spoil it, but it's inspiring.
Yeah.
Just watching the strength of someone and how hard she had to work.
Mm.
And there's just moments, especially when you're a parent. And she's her daughter, you know, she's doing it for her daughter, leaving that relationship.
Mm.
And then she has to leave her with her mother, who's not very stable and living in a trailer park because she has to work and she can't afford childcare.
Yeah.
And it's just there's a moment where the boat's going on the water over to this big mansion, and she's going to spend time with this woman cleaning her house in this big mansion, and her daughter is in a situation where she's not sure she's safe.
Mm.
And then there's no reception at the mansion. Then the phone, when she finally does get back into reception, has 18 missed calls from her mother.
Oh, God.
And your whole heart just like falls into your stomach and you think, oh, my God. And I won't spoil it, but she's just going, you know, crazy trying to find what's happened to her daughter. And anyway, I think it really does that job very well of building empathy.
Cool.
To try and also gives a lot of information about what it means to take someone's sort of emotional and financial stability.
Yeah.
And how relationships can turn that way, whether the person who's doing it even is aware of how manipulative they've become.
Yeah.
You know, and that I think in itself is really interesting because you can't change behavior that you don't know is there.
No.
So anyway.
Sounds good. I think I'll watch that.
It's brilliant. And it's had amazing reviews, really amazing. I'm really excited to see what Margot Robbie's going to do with the movie Barbie, which is her next film.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's Greta Gerwig. Gerwig, is that her name? Mm-hmm. Yeah, who did – what did she do recently? She did Lady Bird. I think she did Lady Bird, but she did something else after that. What did she do last – Little Women?
I feel like it was Little Women.
I feel like she did – but it's like Margot Robbie and it's Ryan Gosling. As well as Ken. So, yeah, that's fun. It's going to be fun, I think.
I know. Oh, I should also say Made is created by Molly Smith Meltzer, who did Shameless and Orange is the New Black.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
Yeah, so it's so worth watching.
I haven't watched Shameless.
And
I didn't see out Orange is the New Black, but I've heard good things maybe. All right, that, Claire, was a fantastic recommendation. No. A fantastic series of recommendations all around on this podcast. And did you know, if you think this was fantastic and above par, maybe you could give us a review on iTunes. It really helps out. Now, look, you might already be voting for us in the Australian Podcast Awards. Maybe you're not interested in doing two things, and I completely understand that, but you can do it in-app. Just like Garbolita, who says, Do you remember that time that you hurt me in a very specific way by losing a gift I got you, and you're clearly still upset about it every time I bring that up? Do you remember that? That was the time I mentioned how you lost the bracelet.
For the
I got you in Venice.
I know. I feel so bad.
Well, do you remember though?
Yes, I remember.
I thought you would remember. Garbolita wants to know.
Right.
Also.
I don't know if that's a is that
it's 5 stars.
All right. Well, fine. We'll take it.
You can say anything.
We will take it.
You can say anything.
Great.
All right. What else, Claire?
That's it. I've already done it.
Oh, you did your letter, didn't you?
Oh, I do have to apologize to James Brooke. I accidentally mixed up his email. He did not recommend The Haunting of Bly Manor. He too.
And you publicly dragged this poor man.
I did. I'm so sorry, James. That's cancel culture. Anyway, he had some great recommendations. So,
but not that one.
But not that one. Exactly. I'm so sorry, James. So thank you so much again. And I won't read them all out on the show because I'm planning to use them.
But you're going
to
watch The Thing, next aren't you? Time.
Yeah, I'm totally going to watch them. Yeah.
No, you're going to watch The Thing, the movie The Thing.
The Thing. No, I'm not.
It's got Kurt Russell.
Thank you.
It's got Keith David. Come on.
All right, fine. It's got I'll watch
Wilford
it.
Brimley.
Fine. I'll watch it before next week.
Will you?
And I'll let you know what I think.
Will you really?
Yes. Okay. I will. I'm a grown woman with ovaries. I can watch it.
Wow. All right. Let's get out of here.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, as always, thank you to Rob Collings for editing this week's episode.
Amazing stuff. Amazing.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.